All things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy. Three blokes catching up over a can of three. So many things that we cannot wait to see. Will Josh giddy up as he drives to the cup? Will Luzada play harder for last year's runners-up? Will Magnay's got his sights on the NBA? But will Bryce be an Aussie? He's gonna stay. We love Space Jam double-doubles and four-point shots from Bubbles. The Great Dane and Mitch and Lamar across the ditch. The Hawks signed a bloke named Justinian. And next year, we'll love the Tasmanian.
Brace for the puns and dad jokes. It's time for the Basketball Blokes.
G'day listeners, you're back with Benny, Banksy and Boydie, the Basketball Blokes, dribbling all things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy.
Yes, and normally, as you might have been accustomed to, we would do the Round 7 review show and the Round 8 preview show, but this week, I'll be honest, it's kind of a shit show. So it's been a bit of a rough week in fantasy and in general, but look, I think the place I'd rather be, it's not great from a podcasting perspective, but boy, you just tell the listeners where you join us from today.
So I'm in sunny northern Victoria, so I'm on the Murray border town of Cobram at the moment, so just having a couple of days away with my family, my wife and my young son, so yeah.
Currently, lucky it's a two-bedroom joint, so you've got a bit of space and we can get this done.
That's right.
Banksy, as of last night, we were a bit concerned about the laptop. How's that looking?
Yeah, kids decided to give it a bit of water, bit of gardening. So the old laptop in Rice Trick, and she seems to be going well tonight. So
far, so good. So yeah, if it cuts out and we don't get anything out, I'll release this as a podcast, and you know what went wrong.
Generally. In rice, Banksy?
Nah, just I thought it sounded better.
No, okay. Yeah, don't advise that.
Don't do it.
And I guess speaking of shit shows, one of the things that I wanted to talk about has been how my trades have gone so far this year. I don't know. It was really hard to get motivation this week for a podcast, and I think it probably comes down to this, just because you're not getting that satisfaction of the trades doing well, which is, I guess, what you look forward to, the game opening every week to see what you can go. But after round one, I was sitting okay, 159th, only had a couple of errors in my team, probably in Sloan and missing out on the big hump, but that week was Creek week, if you remember, Banksy, number one captain, Mitch Creek. Traded Daniel Johnson, who had a 90, for Creek for 54, and McVeigh to Jordan Hunter. Now, because I did that, I had Cam Oliver not as my captain. In total, those trades resulted in a net loss of 132 points, just for starters. Followed by the following week, of course, Creek was going to lose 100K, just come off a couple of 20s, so I traded him to Cotton, who had back-to-back doubles. Creek had 113. Cotton had 47 because the game was cancelled and his double was cancelled the following week. And I got in Orlando Johnson for Donald Sloan. You probably could have done the same, Banksy, I guess. But that resulted in a net loss of 56 points that week. And, of course, Brisbane and Perth both lost their doubles and required an automatic trade out the following week as well. So I went and traded Cotton to McCarron, which netted me 7 points. And I got in Justin Simon, of all people, for 28 points compared to Johnson's 26. So I actually gained 9 points that week. So, you know, all for nothing, yeah. Really. Couple of weeks later, I traded Jack White to Hunter and Machado to Humphreys. I gained 1 point from that trade. And last week, having decided that I needed to get off Justin Simon, went to Quatnoy and got Wetzel up to Viclaw, which was all right, got me a 15-point game. But just the timing of these guys, like Mitch Creek in my team has averaged under 30 and for the rest of the year's over 50, and Justin Simon averages 50 when he hasn't been in my team and averages under 30. I've just – those two players at small forward have just killed me every time I've got them in and out. Man, I don't know if that sounds familiar to you guys, if that's how you've been feeling about your trades.
Oh, Benny, I don't have the patience to do what you've done and break it down week by week. Otherwise, I don't think I would have made it today. But, yeah, as a slow noter, definitely feel your pain. And, I mean, even last week, it's just comes down to luck, doesn't it? I mean, I had Wetzel traded to Law basically since the game opened post the round before. And last minute, I changed that up. Oh, sorry. I mean, I had White out for Law. And last minute, I changed that up to Wetzel. So lost out there, and that ties up one of my trades this week, and another excuse for Sloan to probably stay in my team yet another week due to injury. And the other thing I did this week was to fund that Wetzel up to Law trade last week. I downgraded Creek stupidly to Noi, thinking, yeah, there's no Majok Deng. Noi's flying. He scored a 50-odd the game before, and he spat out a 29 over two games while Craig goes 56. So I would have been better off not trading last week. And that's before we even look at what happened in the way of captains last week.
Okay, we'll get to that, no doubt. And then we get the tweet from Brad Macker.
I want to cut yourself a little bit there. Hang on for a second. Banksy, Sloan is still going to be in your team. Are you the only person, if you looked it up, are you the only Sloan owner in the competition now?
Yeah, I tend to do this every year. So it was Armani Moore 2 years ago. I can't remember who it was last year.
And Tom Wilson was there a while, and he ended up changing sport.
Yeah, at least he went to the Pies. But and yeah, I'm just destined to have Sloan in my team all year, by the looks.
And then you look at tweets, which we appreciate your tweets, but Brad McKenzie, Banksy, what did he send in to us? Try read this out. And
it sounds like a bawdy, humble brag. So Brad McKenzie, sometimes it's better being lucky than good. Not a hump owner. Traded out Sykes and White last week.
I've got hump and I've got White. So
It's definitely a humble brag. But to be fair to Brad, given how he finished last season really well as well, I think he's actually good and lucky, I guess. He's sitting 14th in the universe currently as we speak. So he's not going to be someone who's going to have to fix up these trades. So Brad Macker, Patreon supporter as well. So very happy to see him climbing up the ranks. And without having to do those trades this week, I'm expecting him to be in a pretty good position this week. So well done, Brad.
Well done, Brad. I'm just sturdy at my own team. I'm still looking for that delete team button.
All right. You could make it a zombie team maybe with all those other Donald Sloan owners that had started with Sloan and just gave up.
If you only had a second team in, like, you know, with your wife's email or something like that, like it appears that some other people have banks, you maybe you'd have, you know, maybe that team would be doing better for you.
Maybe.
Look, fellas, I know we've called this episode, I'm going to title this episode The Shit Show, but another thing we could have called this episode is the special combo, the review-preview combo, because it is a bit special because it is actually our 100th podcast. So congratulations, guys. We're currently 100 not out. I must admit I was close to being 100 and out during times this week. But, 100 not out. So well done, fellas. It's been good fun, and thanks to all the listeners for putting up with us. And I must admit it was very good to see Dan Trist getting some minutes this week. Nice. Come back, yeah. Especially for our 100th episode. Take us back to episode one. And I guess speaking of the special combo, Ty has to be one of the big talking points for the week, for our top bloke this week, the Oracle Boardy. Mate, tell us about your team. Tell us about some of the bullets you dodged and who you captained as well would probably be interesting, because that was a big discrepancy between teams this week.
Yeah, cool. So I actually went with a bit of a different tack this week. So I already had Ty Webster, so I brought him in, and with Sykes being a bit of an injury cloud, I decided to get rid of him because I needed a bit of cash anyway. So, and I kind of went against the grain with a couple of things just to be a bit of a point of difference. So I ended up going Vic Law as captain. So I guess that panned out for me a little bit, rather than going the hump or going, say, a Jock Landale.
Yep.
And I used my two trades to upgrade a couple of things. So got rid of Travers on my bench and picked up GJ3J, who I should have had from the start, because he was obviously one of the basketball blokes top cash cows from the start of the season, but I didn't listen to your advice, you two. So, yeah, but I do have Jack White, so obviously that hurt for the second game. But and I started Dangadel as a bit of a risky bisky over Creek, which didn't quite play off either. But I just played the numbers there. Dangadel in his last two games against the two opponents, I think he'd scored something like 52 points.
Yeah.
And Mitch Creek's last was only on the single, obviously, and his game against that team was a 40 or something. So I'm like, you know what, I'm going to play the percentages and started Deng. So didn't work out that well, but yeah,
finished. Tell you what, Boardy, for someone that beat my team by roughly 200 points or something ridiculous like that, you're actually pretty unlucky to have captain Law. I mean, he missed the double double by one rebound in the first game against the Hawks, and then played 14 minutes in the second game and was ejected, and was still just shy of the 100 points compared to Humponers, I think, that got the 32. So you could have
You could have even
gone even better. So you're partially unlucky based on that as well.
Yeah, look, I ranked 75th of the week, so I was pretty happy with the ranking. And my two trades that I did worked out pretty well. Sean Bruce was the other guy I brought in on the bench just as a bit of a, you know, he's getting plenty of minutes, so I thought I'd give him a crack. And I think he had 48 for the round or 47 for the round, something like that. So
I've got him too.
Oh, nice.
Probably the one good player I've got.
Well, I guess that the good thing with Sean Bruce is he probably almost scored as much as Josh Giddey. I know that was the question we got posed to us last week, and we couldn't get past our biases as far as Giddey versus Ty Webster as the start sit for last week. And Boardy certainly got the win out of that one. That second game, I've been doing the advanced stats for last week. That Adelaide score, fantasy score for the round, I think it's looking like it might be 30 or 40 points lower, the amount of fantasy points the team scored, than any other game this week. Like, it is going to be a significant margin when I go through the numbers. But Adelaide, that was shocking. But you mentioned Sykes there, that you got rid of him last week. I didn't have the advantage of that. And Banksy, I guess we should give, we have got an update on Kiefer Sykes this week.
We do. So he's been ruled out this round. I guess we've got no news beyond that. But
yeah,
I guess the way that hurts, obviously, is people that have been holding on to him, hoping for the triple that's around the corner coming up. And we're not going to know. You don't want to trade him out if he's heading into a triple, but then you don't want to be holding on to him in the hopes he's going to play that triple, and he's ruled out there as well.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It was basically a choice of Ty or Sykes at one point there, and with the same sort of schedule. And it definitely hurt me. I had him for the zero this week. I was the average bloke this week, but also had Josh Giddey compared to Webster for Boydie, so I was a fair way off there. And I had Landale captain compared to Law, so. Also didn't have Jack White as well. So that's why I probably sit in between you two fellas. So the next bit of news we have to give is about Jack White. And we've got the news with that injury that he'll be out from 4 to 6 weeks. So definitely a must trade. Or is he? Banksy, I think you can read out this question from the OG Marco.
I wouldn't take advice from myself off this question whatsoever, but as a slow learner. But Marco, can we hold White for a week or two on the bench if it means we get Cotton and Mooney in this week? I know at least one of you guys will be back. Will back me in here, no doubt, having a dig at me. But that's fair enough.
That's how I read that.
But I wouldn't take my word for it. But I would imagine that obviously in a week like this, where there's two teams on the triple, three standout guys, if you already own Law, you're getting the other two big boys in Cotton and Mooney, then I would comfortably say you could hold White for the week, knowing he's not going to lose any cash on the bench.
Boydie, devil's advocate.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how your team is structured. I have White at present, and I only have Law, and I'm going to get rid of White and bring only one of Cotton or he who shall not be named in.
Okay.
You're not bringing him in, are you?
Well, I figure I'm probably the kiss of death, so I'm hoping to get him in, and then he's actually going to revert to what I predict to be an average of 30 to 35 fantasy points for the rest of the year.
Remember, you bring him in, you don't get one Mooney, you get two.
Oh, that's a little preview for later on in the pod, perhaps. But I don't think you'll get Bordy across the line on in that far if he does have the Moondog in his team. But, Mark, as far as your question goes, I'm not a white owner. If I was a white owner and it was the only way for me to get both Cotton and Mooney in this week on the triple, I would be fine with taking a zero in that instance. I think it's pretty well the basic maths of what you can expect both Cotton and Mooney to do on your field versus what you'll lose out by
having him on the bench.
Having him on the bench at half his score. So with fewer games, whoever it is, like if you were to trade out White. So, I think that we're all sort of casually cool with that, but we've got a bunch of questions now about what to do with White. And I'll read out the first one because I don't have White, so I'd like your guys' opinions. First one's from Chris, who wants to know to trade White to Yanni with 430K remaining or Harry Froehling with 640K remaining. So he's got to trade White out to get Jessup up to Creek next week. First of all, excellent planning. This is what we all should be doing. Fellas, what are you thinking as far as Yanni or Froehling in that initial mix for Chris?
Well, Yanni's been more consistent from the start, hasn't he, I think? So until Dane Pinot comes back, I'd be probably showing my Phoenix bias there and going with Yanni over Froehling, who's a bit up and down, even though he did have a massive score in that last game. But that was because Law only played 14 minutes, wasn't it? Something like that.
Yeah. Thanks.
What about the triple, though? Is Yanni slowing down? He's had a 17 and an 18 in his last few games there.
Possibly.
Look, I've been burned by Froehling. I've done the Benny where he was going massive, I think averaging 44 in his first three games. I traded him in, and after 2 minutes he was benched and in the doghouse with the coach, and then traded him out for something ridiculous of an average of 15 or something while I held him. So for me, it's a bit biased because I just couldn't get Froehling back in my team after that. But they are on the triple, and
he has Yanni's been on the triple looking week after.
He's been looking
young for a week after.
Okay, too. All right. So that's probably evened out. But I mean, what if Froehling's obviously getting more minutes than he was when he was in the doghouse there. So just looking at his numbers, so. Yeah, I guess it's really only that one game, isn't it? He had 55, but as you said, Bordy, Law was ejected, played 14 minutes himself, so you would think he would have benefited from that. But prior to that, he had a 21, an 8, a 12, and even two games before that a 6, so that doesn't fill me with confidence.
And it's that Brisbane Tolls fight for minutes. You know, you've got Harrison there, you've got Hodgson there, and you've got Harry, the triple H's, and
Law plays the four most weeks, doesn't he?
Law plays the four, and you have to give someone of the quality of Law, you know, 30 plus minutes a game. So,
Yanni's still going up in price as well. He went up another 100K last week, so you'd imagine that's definitely another increase for him this week as well.
Beautiful. I'm going to add another player to the mix here from Pete Watkins at @Watto_PJ. Is he silly to think that JLA can deliver as the White bench replacement? I want you to add JLA into the mix. Are we preferring JLA to Yanni if we prefer Yanni to Froehling?
Yes.
How much is JLA?
761,000.
I think JLA might be who I bring in for White, because I think he's going to pick up a ton of minutes, and his points per minute is off the charts, so I think it might come back a little bit if he has a few more minutes. But I think, I mean, he was in the team of the week, wasn't he, this week? He had a 90 or something, didn't he, in the doubles?
Yeah, so he scored 51 against Adelaide and 39 against the Kings, and obviously we've already got some data there because obviously White was out for that second game. So 5 points, 10 boards, 3 blocks, netted him 39, so...
Yep.
Maybe a sign of things to come with the one, you'd imagine he'd be getting the minutes from White being out.
Can I just go through, because I've just had a look at his minutes and put them in to the Patreon spreadsheet. So he actually only played 12 minutes against the 36ers and 16 minutes against the Kings this round.
Say that again.
Yeah, 12 minutes. So double-double in 12 minutes.
51 in 12 minutes. That's ridiculous.
16 minutes against the Kings. Have I done points per minute yet? Let's have a look.
Well, that's beastly if they're the minutes he played for a 90.
I'm yet to do the points per minute for JLA. Where was he sitting last week? Let's have a look. So JLA, yeah, so pretty good. He's actually right there with the kind of the exact range that Wetzel and Froehling was last week, but with that kind of points per minute that he had there, he's going to rock it up to up just under some of the more premium guys, I anticipate. So, but surely he will get some more minutes, right? I think I tend to agree with you, fellas. It's just it doesn't necessarily flow through into the minutes. So interesting. We've got another question from Jared Pierce. So he's talking about White as well.
White into Lowell or Harry Froehling or Galloway from New Zealand or Pinder. 20K short for Lowell JLA, then Hump into Cotton.
So he thinks that Joe Lowell will average mid-40s for the next 4 weeks, which is interesting. It's a bold prediction, and if you were keen on that, then he's a massive value. I wanted to I think we've given our opinion on the top two guys, but Galloway and Pinder. Bordy, I know you had some.
Yeah. I'd be going Galloway. I think he showed one of the guys in our Patreon supporters went him, and obviously licking his lips at the moment because he had extra minutes because of Rob Lowe going home, etc. And look, he's only a kid, but he looks like he can, you know, get some score and get some boards and that sort of stuff in limited minutes too. So I think he probably went up 100 grand, so he's maybe 350 or something like that grand, I'd say, at the moment. I'm working off a phone as we spoken earlier, so it's a bit hard for me to jump in and do as good.
Can someone ask me what Pinder has averaged over his last three games?
Well,
what's averaged over his last three games, Banksy? Well,
zero.
Okay.
2-0, okay. And then with Hump only playing a couple of minutes, you kind of question, well, if Hump's out long term, who's going to benefit? Well, it's not Pinder because he scored a -2 against New Zealand. So he's averaged zero over his last three games.
Yeah. So we've got a question about I'm just going to go with it now. Really good follow on Twitter. It's at run2dmax. Comes up as tipping amateur, and he does pretty close NBL break-evens with the Secret Herbs and Spices. Definitely a good follow on Twitter. And he asks, does anyone benefit from the Humphreys injury? We were just talking about Pinder, so I might just get onto that now. If you don't know, Humphreys is out 4 to 6 weeks. Jack Purchase is in as the injury replacement. Not too sure what kind of role Jack will have. He was a DP for Melbourne United last season. So who's going to benefit? We are indicating that we are ruling out Pinder in that situation, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think Jack McVeigh does, to be honest. I think he played a fair few minutes after Humph went out. Right. And they let sort of DJ play the five, and McVeigh sort of played that four role almost. So I think he would probably benefit of the minutes, but will that correlate to a higher fantasy points? I'm not too sure yet. There's not enough evidence for me to support that. Yeah, it did, but not enough evidence for me as yet.
Yeah,
you'd imagine DJ probably gets some more boards. They'll probably play more small ball, you'd imagine. DJ,
for sure.
So they don't really have another standout big. I don't think Pinder's going to get that many more minutes. I think he'll continue in the same fashion as now, but you're probably likely going to see DJ play a bit more at the five, I would imagine, and that could translate potentially to more double-double potential for DJ.
Yeah, and DJ with that at the moment is Brandon Paul coming in as well in the next couple of weeks probably. Mm-hmm. So you might see a little bit of a benefit to DJ or to McVeigh or something along those lines, but then once he comes in, you think he's going to probably come in and be almost a scoring option, isn't he?
Yeah, you think he's going to start ahead of Crocker. He's in the country. He's got 1 week to go.
Right. Because my team needs him right now.
I don't think he's in the system yet.
That Sloan to Brandon Paul trade would be all right.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I've held him all this time.
Yeah, that's it. Just beautiful. He's not losing money. He's just a little sideways there. Well done. Yeah, so McVay, NBL overtime, Liam Santa Maria basically come out and said that McVay will get the minutes as a small four ahead of Pinder. That's what he's expecting. So for a couple of weeks, McVay's looking good. And as Bordy has correctly highlighted, could be only a short-term bump for McVay. So, yeah. Hump, though. We've had – how we all got hump in for 2 weeks. Is that right?
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. 2 weeks for hump.
It burns.
Yeah.
And you guys didn't even have him captain.
Yeah. So, no. Anyhow.
That was lucky, Bordy, because you said you were going to tail me. You didn't.
I decided I'm so far behind in the rankings that I needed to do something different. So that's all it was.
All right. Well, let's get back onto the theme of shit shows. And Banksy, this, believe it or not, is not the segue to how your team was this week. You fellas got any ideas what a shit show is? Anything else out there?
This?
Yes, this is very much it. But also, trying to shave your nuts with something that is not the Lawnmower 3.0 by Manscaped. Now, we're fantasy guys here, and we don't delve into the X's and O's all that much, but one thing that we all appreciate is a perfectly executed backdoor cut on the basketball court. It's a thing of beauty, right?
Mm, love the backdoor.
Yeah. So it's fair to say, though, the same cannot be said about the backdoor cut when manscaping, as you fellas know. I'm unfortunately a balding man. I also am a bearded man. And so I have a head trimmer. I have a beard trimmer. And it's fair to say that if I'm looking to go from one nude nut to three, that these devices are not ideal. And let's be honest, the only time you want a mustache and a gooch to come together is with former English cricketer named Graham. If you know what I'm saying, you don't use your lip trimmer downstairs, right? And whilst a percentage off might not be something that you want to hear about when we're talking about below-the-waist grooming, it is exactly what we are offering to Basketball Blokes listeners. You could head to manscaped.com, use the code BLOKES for 20% off. That's right, use the right tool for your tool and cut the price, not yourself, with the Lawnmower 3.0 from Manscaped, who are supporting us here at the Basketball Blokes podcast now. Banksy, speaking of support, you're going to need a bit of support, and we're here to get you through it, mate. What on earth happened to your team last week?
Oh, I honestly have barely looked at it since it opened. Like, every week I felt like I'm excited when it opens. I go in, see what I can do with my trades. But I can honestly say I did not look at my team, and I didn't even watch basketball post that second Adelaide game. I turned it off at halftime. I didn't watch anything thereafter. It was actually news to me just looking now that Giddy actually got a 7 in that second game. That's how much I knew thereafter because, you know, it might sound a bit childish, but, you know, I do enjoy the games. I found last round a little bit sloppy, but I don't know if that was partly my bias with my fantasy team or not watching my players run around there without much purpose. But, yeah, I mean, I'm in a real pickle. I've got White. I've got Sloan. Now in a pickle with Noy. I mean, I thought that was a bit of a no-brain trade from what we discussed last week. I mean, he was coming off a 50-odd. You'd imagine there was more minutes involved with Majok Deng out of the picture, and I think his minutes halved. So I really don't know what's going on there, but probably going to see more of the same this week. I've got Hump to trade out. So I've basically got three injured players and two or three that are well underperforming at the moment as well. I've got Tarangi in there. So, as you say, Benny, my team is an utter shit show right now. And no matter what I do, I'm going to be left again with someone that's going to be on a zero.
Yep.
And it's looking like Sloan again because with what I can do with my trades, Hump obviously the most value, so he's going to have to go. The only good thing about my team this week is I've already got Mooney and Law on the triple, so obviously the no-brainer third one there on the triple would be Cotton. Yeah, so we'll see what I can do, but I'm going to have to hold one of White or Sloan, unfortunately.
Yep.
Ordinary yeah,
bloke.
At least a new round gives me new confidence. So coming from last round where I think I was only 4 points off the top bloke, it's a bit of a fall from grace.
Yeah, we'll see how confident you are after this section of questioning, which in fact revolves around how many. Now, I've called it the big four on the triple because I know you've mentioned a big three there, but I think Nathan Sobey probably deserves to be in that mix. And in reality, I think given that Humphreys is injured now, Sobey's probably right up there in the MVP of the league mix at the moment, the way he's playing, if Brisbane can scrape into the finals potentially. But first question is how many guns playing three games would you be expecting to have in your team over the next two rounds, it's got, but happy for you to just limit that to this week. Bordy, what are you looking at this week for Perth and Brizzy?
Probably only two.
Okay.
So probably only Law and Cotton at this stage.
Oh,
so I just can't, I can't justify blowing up the rest of my team balance because I've got Krieg sitting there and he has a triple the week after, so I wouldn't trade him out.
Mm-hmm.
Jock's sort of kicking goals, not massively, but averaging 55 or whatever he is at the moment. So he's on a double as well. Like I know we talked about some maths last week or the week before. The difference between a double and a triple is only an extra 50%.
Yeah.
Whereas your singles to doubles is quite more of an effect. So I might ride it out with just the two this week.
So you're not tempted in any way, Bordy, in bringing the best fantasy scoring player in the competition in when he's on the triple?
I just said Cotton. That's what I'm bringing.
MVP. So obviously you've got the one trade, Hump to Cotton / Mooney. What are you thinking about doing aside from that?
Oh, big White's going to come out, I think. I can't justify keeping a zero in there for too long.
Okay, yeah.
So beautiful. That'll be White. I might as well strike while the iron's hot and go White to maybe JLA.
Okay.
Like tempted to have a risky bisky on Froling, but with the triple, but I just think he's too much of a risky bisky. If I get him, he's going to have a bloody four or something like that one game, probably for two games, and then he'll have a 16, and that's about it.
It's hard not to be that pessimistic the way the year's going. It's really tough.
You know what? And it comes down to what I just mentioned like 5 minutes ago, that battle for minutes at Brisbane with all those bigs. So Hodgson could poke up and have an awesome game, or he could have on 4 fouls in 5 minutes and have no minutes, and that therefore Harry might get those minutes. Then there's Harrison as well, and it's just a big balls up. Whereas you know, with White out, JLA is productive, so they're going to play him. Yes, they're probably going to play Peatling,
yeah, DB as well,
a little bit more, and obviously Dave Barlow's going to probably start at that small at the power forward position, I would say, but. I think JLA is going to definitely get some more minutes there.
And you mentioned Bordy, obviously, before with doing your trades or your captains last week. More than anything, you want to try and do something to mix it up. And Froling 20% owned, JLA only 4% owned.
That's it. Are you saying I should captain someone like JLA or something?
No, I'm just saying that if you want to mix it up, you want to be different to the against the grain, well, you know, there's not many out there that own JLA with the benefit of White being out.
Yeah, that's right. So I think he might be one of the most traded in players this week with White going out, to be honest. So I reckon that ownership number will bump up a little bit, but yeah.
And I just had a look there. I hadn't actually looked at the beneficiaries of the game where White was out. What the hell was Barlow doing last game? Didn't score, didn't have a rebound, didn't have an assist, 5 fantasy points.
I think old DB's, you know, age is finally catching up to him a little bit. He has been hitting that three shot quite well. Mm. So I know that Bickerman's gone to him a little bit when they needed just a little bit of to get out of a bit of a hump, scoring hump. But, yeah.
Enough with the hump.
Yeah, sorry. Let's not talk about that anymore. The great question, though, from Ian, just more broadly on with this condensed schedule over the next two weeks, do you think that coaches will actually reduce their star players' minutes to ease them through the congested schedule? Like, I've got my thoughts. I'd love to hear your fellas' thoughts because, I mean, obviously that would help the likes of JLA and Hodgson and maybe Trumic or a few others that are, you might be might be considering, but
possibly some, yes, but I don't think all. Like for example, I think there was a story come out today that Krieg was pretty much bedridden just before the game, sort of this week, and he
really
ended up playing and scoring pretty well. I don't think you can stop a coach is going to stop someone like Krieg playing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Law's the same, but I do think with that, I'd be wary if you're a Psych owner and you're looking to hold because they've got the triple next week. I'd be very wary about that because I think with the triple, I would think Sykes may not still start every game, even if he comes back straight. He might, you know, maybe the Adnam would start and Sykes might have the sort of minute restriction thing straight away. So I'd just be very wary of that.
It's funny as well, isn't it? I mean, you've got teams like Perth, the dominant two men being Cotton and Mooney. I mean, I've noticed so many games, even in the blowout games, where there have been up 20, 30 points. And it's still playing mega minutes. You last 2 minutes of the game, they're up by 30 and they've still got Mooney and Cotton in there. So they just seem to play them big minutes, you know, in the high 30s no matter what.
Yeah, and I often compare it to the NBA. Like, I don't think our athletes are that far behind NBA caliber. Like, shorter game, you know, 40-minute game. There's no NBA teams are playing 4-in-5s. Like, I don't think it should be that.
On the road. Well,
that's right. This is all no travel in between for these guys. I'd be really annoyed if they opted for. I almost think that the league needs to expand to allow these depth players to play on other teams, to be honest, because I agree that they're good enough and they warrant minutes, but some of the times I think that you should be playing your better players more minutes a lot of the time in the NBL. So I don't think it should affect the big guns too much, to be honest. But yeah, in noting that you mentioned Creaky was not travelling too well, that does make you think twice for sure. Brisbane and Perth obviously on the triples this week, fellas. I just wanted to ask you straight up, is there any other viable options outside of the big three that we've talked about? Banksy, what do you think, mate? Any other Brisbane, we've talked about Froling obviously as well. Any others that you think are viable options this week?
Yes, I think we've highlighted Froling just seems a bit of a trap based on the minutes from Law last week and all the bigs at Brizzy there. I think the other one we've really got to consider, I mean, if you've got a luxury trade, if you're, say, a team that already owns Mooney, you own Cotton, you own Law, and you're thinking, well, who am I going to bring in this week? I mean, if you really wanted to get ahead of the pack, as you mentioned a bit earlier, I mean, Sobey's definitely one to consider on the triple. I mean, he's actually just absolutely having a breakout year. You can get him as a point guard, a shooting guard, so he's got that dual positioning available to you. And even last round, I mean, when a lot of the premiums were underperforming and not scoring above the 100 range, and he still managed to score over 100 over his double there. So his offensive game this season is dramatically better, I feel, than last season. So I don't know if that's with having Law on the team. So, you know, defensively minded, the team focuses on Law, which is giving Sobey a little bit more space. But he just looks so much more confident this year, I feel, on the offensive end. So, I mean, he's now, having a look at his stats, I mean, he's averaging 46 in his last three. He's averaging 44 in his last five and averaging 43 on the year. So, I mean, he's right up there as almost being labelled a premium now.
Good option for Sykes.
He's
going to
be the fourth. Yeah.
He'd be the fourth, definitely.
Yep.
There's no one else from really either team that I would be really getting interested in.
That's cool. I'll talk to you through what my plans were before the Kiefer Sykes news. So I had Noi, and I've got to get a little bit of a cash grab to get Humphrey up to, well, it was going to be Cotton, probably.
Bruce Cotton.
Bruce Cotton. Thank you. I was actually going to go Quartnoy down to Anthony Drimmick, and it's still, honestly, it is something that if you can do that, I would seriously look at it, guys. Like, Drimmick's
forgot about him.
He's been playing over 25 minutes. I don't have the fantasy system up here. Got too many other things on. But numbers have been good. Play has been good. Obviously, we had Kadee injured 1 week, and then you had Law on limited minutes. So I guess that there's more points to be going around in general. But, that was my trade before. It was going to be Noi down to Drimmick on the triple and get Hump up to one of those Perth premium to Cotton, really.
I think I like that. He's a cheap option. I think I've got him in our NBL Cup draft as well, mm-hmm. and I was quite happy with his – what did he score on the weekend, 40? Odd?
Benny, he scored 78 points, and he's cheaper than Sloan at the same position. What am I doing?
Have I saved you?
Maybe.
You
went up 100K too.
See, we were here to support. We were here to support. And this is what we do, Banksy. I'm glad to have you on board. It's not a shit show after all. So I'm glad you can take that away. Awesome. So
I like it as a cheap option, Benny. If you're looking for a cash grab, like you say, definitely he's an option. He's got the dual position, small forward, shooting guard, and we all know the problem with shooting guard out there at the moment and small forward, really.
Yeah.
So if you want a cheap option, crack him in for the triple. Look, he might not score 150, but you know, you might squeeze 100 out of him in the triple. So yeah, I'm all for it.
My only question mark is he scored 57. Prior to that, all his scores were either in the teens, the single digits, or the 20s. Was he the beneficiary on the offensive end from Law? That's my only
minutes. So injured. So he played last five games, 19 minutes, 15 minutes, and then that's boosted up to 24, 25, and 24.
Okay,
happened.
He's playing more minutes like he did in the first round. I think they had a double the first round, and he scored 50-odd for the round, didn't he? Had a 23 and then a 26 or something like that.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's gone back to almost those starter type minutes that he had that first round. So he's been in a bit of a slump. I think we might be getting him at the bottom of the barrel, or you might have if you got him last week before he went up 100K.
Well, he's almost 400K cheaper on his starting price for the season too.
There's actually quite a few of these cash fouls that I'm really looking at. We mentioned Galloway, and there's a few others. All right, so got some more questions here from Ant. Is Banksy, you like this one. Is Colton the answer for your bench center, or do you go Moonboot Matt? I like that one. He's obviously listened to the Dr. Banks story, maybe, or he's got his Moonboot Mag name mixed up. But so he's talking about Matt Hodgson there. So Colton Iverson or Matt Hodgson? One has the triple this week, one has the triple next week. Who do we prefer out of those? Banksy, you're a Colton Iverson owner now, NBL Cup draft. And just before you go ahead, go to basketballblokes.com. You've probably heard of us talk about this NBL Cup draft, and we put together an article which is on the website now. You can check out how the draft went.
Benny.
Thanks, mate. Thanks to your contribution as well. Thanks to all our Patreons who gave their feedback that was included in the article. And thanks to Banksy for drafting Colton Iverson, and then 5 minutes later, Rob Lowe decided to go home. So what are your thoughts on Colton?
Well, I have one good thing, and, you know, it's just a common trend for myself in fantasy. Even in my draft team, I'm running with 2-0s now with Lamar Patterson injured. And my last pick, I actually traded Jarrell Martin, or not traded, but drafted Jarrell Martin in the hopes he made an early return from injury, because there wasn't much left on the menu thereafter with that last draft pick. But look, big Colt, last four games, 38, 62, 20, and a 37. So you could do worse than him. And we always know the danger with Hodgson is foul trouble, isn't it? So
yeah, 755 fouls he's up to now for his career.
He always seems to drag us in where he'll just have a couple of games like he did, where he had a 48, a 55, and then quickly comes back down to earth with foul trouble and back to his usual teens and 20s. So I think we see the same with Matty Hodgson every single year. He has these couple of big back-to-back games where he goes big and manages to stay out of foul trouble, and you know what happens as soon as you bring him in. Same thing every year.
Boyd, between the two, if you had to.
Colton.
Okay. Oh,
who thought we would have said that?
Yeah, no.
Start of the season.
No one. I prefer JLA though, but Colton.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. And take that as some advice as well. You don't necessarily – it's probably going to be starting one of these guys if he's looking for – oh, Colton's on the triple next week. So, yeah, definitely consider that earlier discussion that we had. But just in general, have you guys thought ahead for who your answer for your bench center spot is long term? Because I know I have, and we're going to get Jarrell Martin at a massive discount in a couple of weeks. So if you're looking at the longer term answers, I think that that's where you want to be looking. So that would be my thoughts on that. And who knows, we might get Hump nice and cheap in 6 weeks time as well. But moving on to the next question, Bordy, have you got that in front of you, bud?
Yeah, let's go from Timmy Franklin Jr. McCarron or Cotton in this week? Schedule considered, obviously. Love your work, boys. Sorry, shouldn't have put that in there, but okay. Cheers for that, Timmy Franklin Jr. Well, you'd have to go Cotton, would you, with the schedule and with his form? I know McCarron's been in hot form as well, and McCarron is in my team, but I think you'd be going Cotton on the triple this week, surely.
I guess it depends on your team, doesn't it? I mean,
you got the cash for it, though, you'd be going Cotton.
Oh, base for this week you would, but I mean, yep. Mitch has just gone up another 100K, so you're going to get more rises out of him. Cotton didn't go up.
Maybe. He continues his form, yes.
And what I was going to say is, I mean, it's going to depend on your team structure. I mean, if you're looking at a Sykes trade out, well, then McCarron at a slightly cheaper price is definitely a viable option. But I guess we've got to consider that obviously Illy's back now, and I don't think Golding's too far away. I think he's due back over the next week as well, isn't he?
Yep. Yeah, I think so too. Yep.
So probably Cotton thinking long term.
Yep. Yep. Definitely. Don't mind that. I think it's a nice, easy one, to be honest. I'm banned from the next one, but someone who's actually dominating our NBL Cup draft competition is Doddy, and he asks, start and sit. This is probably yours, Boydie, I'd guess.
Yeah.
McCarron and Ty.
Well, the interesting thing with those two this week is that they have the same opposition. Kind of.
Oh, cool.
They play each other, and they also play Brisbane, both teams.
Oh, yeah.
So, bit of a tricky one. But
is
in
Golden
saying
back
that,
next game?
Yeah, I think he's going to be back for the second game. I think they're saying possibly. I think that's right.
Because I don't have the numbers in front of me. I think it was on one of the broadcasts, though. There's massive discrepancy without Golding in the team.
Yep, and I think that's when I will trade him out when I need to do that. So I think it will be I'd be going Ty over those two.
Yep.
Ripper, thanks to you. Want to read out the next one?
Yeah, we had one from Mac Winston. How would you currently rank Harvey, McCarron, 3J, and Giddy in terms of starter and bench options across the 1 and 2?
Hang on a second. I've got to say this first. Mac Winston is his name on Twitter, but
no, don't say it.
I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, go for it. I'm going to use it for a Manscaped.
Manscaped for sure.
I like that. I'll leave it.
Okay. No, that's fine.
I want to hear you say. I want to hear you pronounce it. How do you say it, Bordy?
Oh, it's Doddle Heavy, isn't it?
it's just like Dessels, Doddles.
And Doodle Heavy. I don't mind it.
Yeah, okay. It's like a bit. It's got a bit of deep ballers about it, doesn't it? So, all right. So you can carry on now while I'm trying to compose myself. So
Harvey, Karen, 3J, as in DJ 3J and Giddy.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Harvey. Harvey and McCarron. I'd be going this round. DJ and Giddy still a little bit too risky for me to be starting them if you've got those other options there. For mine, that's my opinion.
What about a Harvey? Everyone was all over him a couple of weeks ago, scoring in the 60s and a 50. He scored 111 across the double.
Double-teamed him.
You would have thought against a fast-paced Southeast Melbourne, you would have thought he would certainly have scored more than 8.
They got the ball out of his hand every time I was there. Every time he got the ball, they just sent two at him and made him make a decision with it. And I guess the Phoenix did well enough to keep his assist numbers down. So, I mean, for my opinion, I'd go Would we have McCarron over Giddy now? I'll break it down into segments like that. I'm real concerned that we talked about who benefits from Humphreys being out. Giddy has to take a hit as far as assists go with Humphreys being out.
He didn't have an assist in the last game with Hump out for the majority of the game. He actually had one assist across the double.
Yeah, okay. McCarron will fade off a little bit, but I'd still have him over Vasiljevic. It's just whether or not – I like McCarron the best out of those, followed by Harvey, Giddy, and Vasiljevic is probably where I'd have him. Banks, what are your thoughts?
I think we underestimate the hit that Mitch takes when Golding's back in that team. There's so many mouths, and his fantasy average was pretty average to start the season with Golding in there. So I don't know. I think I'd be more inclined to, if you're picking two to start and two to bench, probably be longer term thinking more Giddy, although I agree his assist will take a little bit of a hit. And Harvey, we've seen what he can do. Yes, he had one off game last round, but double team. But I think I'm always going to take the two starters that I think will have more potential to get more stats. DJ3J, more than impressed with him, but he's still going to be a bench player. Yeah, I just think Mitch will tail off a little bit with the return of Golding. So probably Harvey and Giddy.
And what an excellent run sheet I've put together here with the next question. Kind of Jake answering the question for us to some extent. He's got Sovi, McCarron and Giddy, and he's opting to trade out Giddy of the three. But he wants to know Jason Kadee or Kyle Adnam. But Bordy, you mentioned Adnam off pod.
Adnam.
Well, Kyle.
Just Adnam because he's going to get the minutes at the moment. I would be thinking that's only a short-term trade. Possibly, and I'd be thinking Adnam. I think he's been playing minutes. Even when Sykes was there, he's been playing almost as like he's sixth man off the bench. So I would be going Adnam over Kadee. Kadee's been a little bit hit and miss, up and down. So not one I would be going for.
Gee whiz, I've only just noticed what Adnam's score was with no Sykes. My goodness.
Did they give him the 13 assists?
Yes, good. 71.
Because it was 11 at the initial before the adjustment. So...
1 point or something like that. A double-double as well. I mean, if he had one more point, we would have seen an 82.
Yeah, and Bordy, you were mentioning last week, I think, was it Bruce that if you had your time back, you were actually legitimately considering Kyle last week?
Oh, Adam was in my side at one stage on the bench there instead of Bruce, but I decided for Bruce because of the double and I was sort of just risking the double over the single, but yeah, didn't pan out kind of, but it kind of did, so it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, that's it. I guess if we had known that Sykes was 100% going to be out this week, and who knows, could have changed your mind. My trade this week is actually, I mentioned I was going to do the Noi trade. I'm doing the Sykes to Adnam this week, and that's my cash grab this week. I'm choosing Kyle Adnam myself. Haven't seen him play live. He was just awesome facilitating. So, really not too much of a fan of Jason Kadee. So I think that's pretty unanimous, I'd say.
And even when Sykes returns, Benny, I think it's still a viable bench option. I mean, in his last 1, 2, 3, his last six games, he hasn't scored below 26. So that's more than serviceable, anything above 26 for his price, even with Sykes returning.
Yeah, that's right. I think he's still playable on the triple next week if Sykes does return during some stage of that round. So that was the logic for me, and that's why I'm going him over Kadee. All right. I think that's all the questions. Anything else to add, fellas?
Congrats on our 100th, but we're calling this the 99.5, I reckon.
Yeah, I think so as well.
We'll make it a big one. We're all in the same room next week.
Yeah, sounds good. Let me check how long we're going here. We might stitch in Banksy's captains right here, right now, I reckon. Ooh, yeah, let's do it. Banksy, it should be a nice quick one. Let's all, as Bordy says, you know what time it is.
And now it's time for Banksy's captains. It's not Benny or Bordy, so please don't at them. It's Banksy's choice, so he's in trouble. If his number one choice doesn't double.
Whenever you're ready, Banks.
Do we even need a top three this week? just feels a little bit obvious, but I also thought that last week. So
that's right. Look, we each had one of your captains last week. You had your number one, I had the number two, and Boydie went the number three, and they should have been flipped, as it turned out. So still important. Give us all the numbers, bud.
Yep, so Hump, injured 32, Jock, mediocre 72, Law, a 91, including an ejection last week. So could have been better. But, look, I genuinely spend a good couple of hours crunching numbers, looking at matchups each week when I rank my captains for the round. But after rounds like last week, it almost makes me wonder why. But I'm actually thankful that this week was a little bit easier. Obviously, as we know, Brisbane and Perth on the triple this week. There's obviously the standout three candidates, Law, Cotton and Mooney. Not too much to really analyse. So the two teams play each other once. Outside of that, Brisbane play New Zealand and Melbourne, whilst Perth play SEM and the Hawks, who both the latter two obviously leak points to big men, as we've documented all season. I don't know how many times we have to see Mooney play SEM to know that he is an utter lock this week. But let's have a look now. Anyway, so Brisbane and Perth yet to play each other. We don't obviously have numbers there. Brisbane hasn't played New Zealand either. They looked a lot better last game, New Zealand. So maybe it was that Adelaide were putrid or Connor Henry's completely lost his marbles. I don't know, or both. When it comes to Law, we've only have his form and his one game against Melbourne. He posted a 51 in that game, which was more than serviceable, but I guess most concern when you're picking out of the three is Law's got a 33 and a 29 in his last three games. That doesn't really fill me with enough confidence to lock him in, with obviously the Perth options we've got on the menu. So Victor would be locked in at number three for me this week, which leaves us with our big two, and it's obviously not going to be any surprise here, but Perth hasn't played Brisbane. They haven't played Illawarra either, so we don't have a lot of data against this week's opponents for the guys on the triple, but who they are playing is SEM. So they tend to play the Phoenix just about every week this season, but what I have looked at, Mooney averaging 70 in his last three, Cotton averaging 57 in his last three. The one team that was played a number of times sees Cotton averaging 53 against the Phoenix. Mooney's averaging 67.5 against them in the four matchups so far. What I obviously really like is the mega 97 that he had two games back. Maybe something for Boardy consider with his trades this week. And I really don't think there'd be anything worse than him putting up another 90 to 100 plus score in the first game of the round. On the Wednesday against the Phoenix, and you not having that score doubled and having the big C on the best fantasy player in the comp. So Cotton at number two, Mooney has to be at the number one spot for round eight based on matchup, being on a triple, and obviously being the highest fantasy scorer in the competition all season.
All right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to put the big kiss of death on Mooney. I'm going to captain him this week. I'm going to bring him in.
Good man. Wow. Be good to have you on board, mate.
Finally, we've convinced him.
Good to have you. You're doing it out of spite. We understand that you hope it turns to crap. Man.
This is his kiss of death.
So if he kills it, you look like a genius. And if he doesn't, tell us.
I'm going to make a big call. Travis will outscore him in fantasy points.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Honestly, God.
Travis was a special mention on this week's captains. But, thank you for that, Banksy. Just got one more question that I've noticed on Twitter. I think it's a good one. Can we do it quick?
Yeah.
All right. Michael Pereira.
Before that, I'm going to say, Banksy, don't take it too hard when you're a captain. Fall to shit a little bit, all right? You have a 1-2-3 for a reason, and Victor was the third one, but he was probably the better one this week. But you can't see things happening like injuries and stuff, so don't be too hard on yourself, all right?
And I think everyone was pretty fair. I didn't actually get anyone that went out of their way to point it out in the Twitter sphere.
Everyone uses your...
I tell you what, I'm glad I'm not Calvin from Dream Team Talk and AFL Fantasy, because some of the morons he gets after he posts a bad captain, like he's got a crystal ball, is just ridiculous. So it's nice to see we've got a good NBL community that doesn't like to rub it in after a bad captain's week.
That no. or not many people had him and trusted your advice and didn't actually get
banned. I'd like to get the first, but anyway.
Yeah, that's all right. Just have it a go. So the question, would you hold Sykes and downgrade White to Froling, or would you hold White and bring in Vic Law? So you're either bringing in Froling or Law and trading.
I'd be holding White. I'd be getting rid of Sykes. He's too much money to have sitting there, whereas White you can kind of justify because you would have only paid probably 250 or 350 grand for White. So I'd probably, out of those two decisions, I'd be getting rid of Sykes to bring in Law, because I think that's more maximum.
That's not the scenario.
Oh, isn't that what you said?
It's Sykes to get in Froling.
Oh.
Or White to get in Law.
Let me pick that.
Law. Froling's a trap.
Yeah.
Yeah, Law.
Yeah.
Like the Law one.
Whatever scenario comes up, Vic Law, follow the Law, as we should say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sykes 40, and White, they're both zero. So
yeah.
In both scenarios, you're going to have a zero. So
yep.
You want Law.
40 from the 300 kilometres away, wherever you are.
Wrap as always, at @Beeble_blokes or Basketball Blokes on Twitter, or the number one NBL fantasy resource at your fingertips, basketballblokes.com. Until next week, fellas, when I'm back in sunny Melbourne.
You sound like you're in a cubicle, Bordy.
I just was, but I'm not now. The beauties of hitting the mute button.
Let's pray for a better round than last round, eh?
Yeah. Good luck, everyone.
Thank you.